What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Rock Your Brand podcast. I am fired up because today we are going to be breaking down my wife's most recent month in November, the full month that is, and we're going to break down how she did $22,405 in her Etsy shop. And well, we're going to break down the entire strategy. Now, it didn't just all of a sudden happen. We actually had to do some work and we actually had to prepare for this November month. And a lot of people always ask me like, well, what did you do to get this result? Like whenever you're having results, like what did you do? And someone in one of the Facebook groups that I'm part of had asked, would I be willing to kind of share like what we did? So I said, let me just go ahead and I'll go live on Facebook. I'll go live on YouTube and heck, I'll even post it here on the podcast. So that's basically what I did. That's what you're going to be listening to here. It was myself and Chris Schaefer and kind of walking through the strategy because there are different things that we did that allowed this to happen. It didn't just happen overnight. Like it does take some planning and there is a strategy that we're following and it's pretty much what we've done all along in any of the businesses that we've started or built, grown, sold, any of that stuff. And it really does come down to building out the brand. But I know a lot of times you want to hear like, what are the specifics? Like, what did we do? And there are some things that we did to really ramp this thing up and get $22,000 in sales, actually $22,405. So that's what we're going to be doing in this episode. We also answered a bunch of questions, talked a little bit to the live audience. So I'm going to go ahead and leave that in here as well. Now, before we do jump in, I did want to say also that we did make an announcement towards the end, but I'm going to go ahead and say it right here just in case you don't make it all the way to the end. But we had people ask us if we would teach this in a class. And so we decided to teach it. And that's going to be on January 4th. Now, if you're listening to this after the fact, obviously it's already happened, but you're still going to be able to go through it if you want to. We're calling it the 7-day cha-ching challenge. I know, great, right? Cha-ching, that's what you hear and what you see on Etsy when you make a sale. So that's why we call it that. But really what we're going to be doing is over 7 days, we're going to be breaking down, building out all of the different parts of this strategy. But then also for people that are brand new to make their first sale or for people that have existing shops that are struggling to get more sales. If you are interested in attending that and joining us, head on over to brandcreators.com/sales. Again, that's brandcreators.com/sales. And you can get all the details over there. So I'm going to stop talking now so you guys can listen in on this episode where we break down the strategy that led to $22,405. What I wanted to do here today was I wanted to really break down what it was that allowed her shop to be able to generate $22,405 selling print-on-demand products. So if you're wondering, was this digital products? The answer is no. It was print-on-demand products, which I'm a pretty big fan of. Any of you that have been following along any of my journey or anything that I've been talking about for years, you know, I've been doing e-commerce, but a lot of times it's been physical products, ones that we've been, really using, the private label model and all of that stuff. And when you're doing that, it does, inventory becomes very, very expensive. When we started to get into the print on demand, it was sort of like a digital product in a sense. I got to be honest, because there was no inventory to house. So I'm a huge fan of this. And I'm going to walk you guys through exactly how we were able to achieve this. There is a strategy behind it. And there's some things that we did leading up to November that I'm going to walk you guys through. So that's what we're going to be doing here. We will answer any questions live while you guys are here live. If you're watching this later on a replay, if you have any questions, drop them in the comments. And I would also say this, if you guys would do me a quick favor, if you guys are getting value at any time during this video, do me a favor and smash the like button. And that'll just help us get it out there to more people. And we'd appreciate that. That would be awesome. So Chris, are you fired up to kind of dig into the numbers? I mean, this thing is just cranking along and I'm really excited to kind of break it down.
Dude, I'm pumped. And it's funny because we had initially set a goal of 25K for basically November and December, and have not only met that goal, but also massively, I can speak English, massively exceeded kind of our own wildest expectations at this point, by following some really basic strategies that I think everybody can replicate, which is one of the things that we strive to do, right? And I love seeing what's coming in. I know we're having a little bit of growing pains because some of the print-on-demand providers that we're using, we're not expecting to have so much volume coming through. And so actually submitting orders and some of those kinds of things has been a little interesting, but that's a good problem to have, right? Like I'd rather have that problem than the opposite problem. And when you go to $22,000 in a month, you can start to run into some of those kinds of things, right? And that's a good high quality problem to have.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I don't know what happened to our cameras there. There it goes. Anyway, yes, it is. It's
a very unsubtle signal to get me to stop talking. Is that what you're...
Yeah, it was. I was like, Chris, can you stop? All right. So we are going to get into it. I know you guys are here tuning in because you want to go through this strategy. So with that all being said, let's just kind of get to it. And I've got some slides that I put together here just so we can kind of walk through it. I wanted to show you guys the steps and the process and all of that stuff. So do me a favor, though, if you guys are selling right now yourself on Etsy, drop that in the comments as well. We'd always love to know, like, who's currently selling, who's thinking about selling. Would love to know that in the comments. And always, if you have any questions, either during this or after, drop them in the comments as well. All right, so let's dig in. So what I'm going to be covering here is the strategy that generated $22,405.89. We can't leave off that 89 cents there in our Etsy shop selling print-on-demand products. And the crazy thing is my business partner, Debbie, also did over 20K. And I believe her number was closer to 24, maybe closer to 25. So it's pretty cool to see this kind of all take shape as we've both used the same strategy, which is really, really cool. But the strategy also goes a little bit back further. And that's what I'm going to also give you guys as we're going through this. Like, I'm going to show you what it took to do $22,405, but I'm also going to walk you through what led up to being able to do that. Because I think that's something that a lot of people leave off. They think that all of a sudden you just open up a shop and you immediately do this. And that's not the case. I'm not here to tell you that that's going to happen because, it takes some work and it takes some planning and it takes, actually getting in there and putting out products. So I just wanted to say that just so that way there we're very clear on that. But this thing is still cranking. So this here is the numbers from November, but this is the numbers like to date before we got on here right now. I pulled these. So these are the last 6 days in December. So if you're watching this later, obviously that's not accurate, but you can see right here in December, we're at $7,155.10. And the other cool thing that I love about this, and Chris, I know you love it, is the conversion rate. 6.8% is insane. Really, really insane. And if you look back here at, usually if you go further out, your conversion rate will go down a little bit because you have more traffic. We're still over 5%, which is crazy. So it's still cranking along. November was great, but December is going to be great as well. And you can see this was yesterday's numbers alone, 8% conversion, $1,196.75. So my wife was thinking the minute we hit December that the sales were going to start to tank a little bit, and they haven't. They've actually started to increase, which is also getting her a little bit nervous because we want to make sure that everyone gets things before Christmas. So that's yesterday. So I just wanted to kind of give you a recap that, yes, November was awesome. That's what I'm going to walk you guys through. But now that that has been created for November, all of that stuff is still in place. We're still reaping the benefits. So it doesn't just stop because November is over you had a sale or something. We actually only ran two small sales and we didn't even run one for Black Friday or Cyber Monday, which is kind of crazy in itself. We just didn't think we could keep up with the demand, to be honest with you. So let's get into it. The overall strategy is this, and this is a very simple strategy, but a lot of people are still going out there and trying to find the trends and then just trying to tap in on a trend. They're trying to find that one holiday sweater that's going to just, take off and make a millions. You know, like that's not what we're doing. That's never what we've done. And that's what I don't promote. And I don't think anyone should really do that. But our overall strategy is very simple. Choose one niche and focus on creating multiple products. And we did leverage the holiday. And actually, I did a video recently I published on how we are leveraging more than just Christmas, but all the holidays and all the major events and how we're planning to do this. And I'm going to give you guys what that looks like here a little bit later. So make sure that you stick around for that, because what we did, and I call it holiday hacking, is where we're able to plan in advance and then we start to plant the seeds. And I'll go into that a little bit deeper here as we move through this. So the overall strategy is very simple. Like I said, choosing one niche. We're not a garage sale, as Debbie likes to call it. We're not like putting out like bass fishing shirts, gardening shirts, hunting shirts, cat lover shirts. Like, we're not doing all of these different niches. We're doing one specific niche. So if you're in the baby niche, we can sub niche down and say, we're going to go after newborns. We're going to go after toddlers. We might be doing like wooden puzzles for that, you know, as like an educational piece for that. Like, there's all different things we can do within that niche, but we're focusing on the one niche. All right. So that's the overall strategy. So here's the important steps that I wanted to make sure that I went over here, because this is really, really important. Number one, like I just said, we picked a good niche, and more than just a good niche, or maybe you're thinking like, what is a good niche? A good niche is one that has demand. And that's really, really important. And I think a lot of people, they get hung up on, well, I think I've got a good niche. Then they go and create products. And then from there, they're not selling and they're wondering why. And then when they ask me why, I look at their shop or I look at their products and I go, well, is anybody really searching for this? Is anybody buying this? So that's a big one. And if you miss that piece, everything else becomes really hard. If you get that piece right, everything becomes a lot easier. You notice how I didn't say easier? It makes it a lot easier. There's still work involved. So number one is picking a good niche. That's what we did. Number two is we created niche-specific products. Once again, I'm going to share with you later why, more important than just the sales that we generated, there's an actual bonus piece that is kind of bolted on to making those sales that is going to help us in the future. All right. And I'm going to explain that because it's really, really important and people don't realize that. But when you're creating niche specific products, you're able to then serve more products to the same customer, which then takes that average order cart value up versus selling one t-shirt. We can sell a t-shirt, a mug. I'm not saying that we sell that stuff, by the way, because I don't really recommend that you do. But if you did, it would be selling a shirt, a mug, a blanket, a pillow, a flag, like all different things that are related to the same thing that one person could buy and add to their cart. That would make sense versus it being one bass fishing shirt and then you sell a cat shirt. It doesn't go well together. You're not going to sell that same customer that same shirt. Maybe, but probably not. The third thing is we seeded products. And this is something I don't hear anyone talking about. And that is where we planned and we launched 30 products in 30 days. We call it our 30-day product blitz. Now, we did this several times. Seeding is really, really important. And that's what allowed the November month to happen. All right. We didn't just launch, you know, 30 products on November 1st and then magic happens, right? There's planning and then there's seeding. We call it seeding the market. Four is good SEO, Etsy listings. Now, you can have good SEO, but if you don't have any demand for that product or your niche, SEO doesn't matter. You got to have demand. That's why the very first part in this is picking a good niche. And that I feel as though we did. And I think that over the years, that's really what I've always looked at before ever starting any of the brands that I've ever started. I'm always looking at the demand before I go into a market, which is really, really important. So the good SEO, that's basic stuff like your title, your images. You're going to have a good description. You're going to have good tags, right? That's it. Like, and then obviously filling out the back end of your listing, making sure that you fill in all of the necessary data that Etsy is going to look at. All right. So that's good SEO. And then the fifth thing is using the internal Etsy marketing tools. And I'll share with you guys what that looks like here in a second as well. A lot of people aren't leveraging the internal Etsy marketing tools. But that's what we did. So that's the important steps right here. These are the main pieces. All right. And so there's like some prep work that you're doing in order to get there. Now you might be watching this going, well, Scott, Christmas is over. Now what? I got to wait till next Christmas. No, you can now start planning for the next big event or the next season. And it doesn't even have to be where you plan for the season. It could just be like, I'm going to go after products that people are searching through or searching for throughout the entire year. And then the holidays are just bonus pieces or bonus times that's going to spike the sales. And that's what we're always looking for is like, can we find evergreen products that are, is kind of like your baseline. And then can we add more products when it's the holidays or special events, things like that. So these are the important steps though, that I wanted to cover before we get into this right here. And this is the path to $22,405 in sales. All right. So number one, we researched products in September. All right. Now that's before November, right? That's not November 1st. That's not October 1st. That's September. And I remember that I was at my kitchen table and I was doing research for my wife. And I was like, okay, here is a product that you need to launch ASAP. And she did. And I found another one and then another one. And then the cool thing is with these, a lot of times there's variations that you're going to run off of these. All right. And that's what we did. And that's how you kind of get to 30 products. Like people are like, how do you launch 30 products in 30 days? You find one product idea, right? As far as a design, maybe, or a quote or a saying or something that the market is already buying. And then you make your version of it. And then you can apply that to other products. That's how you can take one design and create 5, 6, 7 different products. All right. So that's how you leverage that. So then in step two here, we created products in October and my wife was going hard at creating products in October. I'm talking like just creating. That's all she was doing. Now the sales were good. I think we did over $8,000 in October. I'd have to look, but it was still a good month. Okay. But all she was doing was head down planting seeds. Okay. And then as she was planting the seeds, start to get a few sales as we get closer. Okay. So that's the second thing is creating products, head down, create products. Third is launch 30 plus products in October. Okay. So created, launched, created. Now what she would a lot of times do is she would create a batch and then the next day launch. So that way there, you're not kind of trying to do everything all at once. So that's the third step. The fourth is we were running a product giveaway. And what we do here, and we've been doing this for years, we've been teaching this for years, is where we feel like an email list is an asset that a lot of Etsy sellers and Amazon sellers and just e-commerce people in general don't have and they don't leverage. We always want to be building an email list. And the reason why is because I want to be able to send emails to my target audience, to my niche. This is why in the very beginning, we're choosing a niche, right? Not just a one-off bass fishing shirt, okay? We're building a list of people that are raising their hand that are interested in what we sell. How do I know this? Because our giveaway consists of our products. You see how that works? We're putting out, in a sense, this is kind of funny, bait. I'm talking about the bass fishing market. We're putting out some bait and we're getting people to raise their hand or bite. So this way here, we know that they're interested. Okay. And then what we can do is we can communicate with those people. Now, a little side note here, a lot of people are like, well, okay, you know, you run this giveaway, you build this email list, but what if they don't buy? Here's the deal with email lists. Over time, they may buy. We just had someone that joined our list a year and a half ago. Never bought anything up until this past, I think it was October, and they purchased over $350 worth of items. So the email list, even though some are going to buy right now, some may not buy right now, and that's okay. But anyway, I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds there on that, but yes, we do have an email list, and yes, we do email them, and that's step five, is we sent weekly emails, okay? We sent weekly emails about new items that we were releasing. Maybe we had a special, maybe we had free shipping, like something that we would send them once a week. All right. And then six, and this is where a lot of people are like, yeah, you did 22,000, but how much did you spend in ads? Because a lot of times people are showing these numbers and then they're spending, you know, 10,000 on ads. No, we spent only $5 per day in November total of $150, okay, on ads, $5 a day. Still right now, those sales that you saw earlier from December, still $5 a day. And so you might be asking, like, well, why do you still run them if, you know, you're getting traffic and all that stuff? Like, why are you still running them? Why not? Right? I want more exposure. If I can show up in ads and in organic, I just increased my chances. And I can also look at the ROI that, you know, when I'm spending $100, I'm getting $1,500 in sales. When I'm seeing that, why wouldn't I keep doing that? But here's another problem that I see a lot of people making is they don't want to spend money in ads because they're like, why would I do that? It eats into my profit. You're going to see here in a second when I show you the big payoff here and why I'm okay with doing that. Because when you're spending money on ads to get exposure, we are also getting better organic reach. And the reason why is because sales velocity is what really drives your SEO, as everyone is kind of screaming from the top of the roof. You can have great SEO, but if you have no sales, it's not going to matter. Because if you have 10 competitors that have the same type of SEO, same tag, same title, same type of images, all that stuff, it's not going to matter. What's going to outrank people is sales velocity. And that's why we have to get sales. Now, I'm not saying you got to spend $5 a day. You can spend $1 a day, $2 a day. But something to get that flywheel going, I'm a huge fan of. And then the seventh thing here is we did run two internal. I say internal. We ran 20% off. I ran a sale and I ran it for 7 days. I did it as a test, as a case study. And I actually documented that on the YouTube channel, and it did really well. But that's all that we did. Okay. I didn't run a Black Friday. We didn't run a Cyber Monday or a Cyber Week. We didn't. Okay. And part of the reason was, is because sales were just coming in and my wife was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle much more, right? Like, it was literally getting to that point. So we didn't really have to do too much more marketing. All right. So that's the path to the $22,405 in sales. Now, the big benefit, like I said, and I told you guys, I was going to share this with you guys, is the big benefit that no one talks about is in November, we gained over 600 customers that we now can sell to in the future. Let me say that again and let that sink in. And this is why it's so important to build a brand, as we call it, in a niche. Because when we have 600 customers that we know are interested in bass fishing, let's say, and I send them things that we're creating around bass fishing, do you think that there's a chance they might buy it? It could be, right? So that's huge. Having a customer list and then being able to release new products is huge. So number one, we can email those people. Now, there's an integration inside of Etsy, AWeber. You can use that. We use it just to get the emails over, but then we port it over to ConvertKit. Again, I'm not going to get into all of that stuff, but the bottom line is we're building a customer list and we do have access to those emails. The second thing is that a lot of people don't realize is that when you have a customer, they've probably also favorited your page or your shop, favorited items, or they're just a customer. And if that's the case, anytime that you do anything inside of your shop, you add a new product, you create a sale, any of that stuff, they're going to get notified in the Etsy notifications tab. Okay. So that's another thing that you're able to get. So whenever someone favorites your shop, don't look at it like, well, they favorited, but they didn't buy anything. You can actually utilize that. The other thing that I didn't really mention here is that Etsy internal marketing, part of that also is setting up your internal email triggers inside of Etsy. So the first one is if someone does buy, you can send them a thank you email with a discount code. The other one is if someone favorites an item, they can also get a notification or an email trigger with a discount code if you set that up. You have to set this stuff up. And then the third one is if someone puts it in their cart but don't buy, you can give a discount off of that as well. And we set up all three of those, which I'm a big fan of. So a big benefit here is, like I said, like if we go back here, you can see we had 637 orders. Well, that's orders. There's more customers. Those are customers. There's more sales than that, but there's 637 orders. So that means 637 customers. Okay. So that's over 600. If we go here, there was 230 in December so far. Customers. Okay. Customers. There's more sales than that because orders could consist of 1, 2, 3, 5 sales. Okay. But those are orders. And then yesterday we got 41 orders. So 41 new customers, right? So that's really, really good. So that's the big benefit that no one's talking about. And that's also why I encourage you to build a brand, not just a one-off shop that has like one-off products or a shop that has one-off products. All right. So the big takeaway here that I want you to walk away with here for this, I want you to number one, I want it to be inspirational, motivational, get you going, right? This is something that my wife started on the side and has really just been dabbling. And then this past year in July is when I kind of said to her, I go, let's kick this thing up a notch. Let me get involved and help with marketing and let's get this thing rolling. And then we did. And you can see the more that you focus on something, the more it grows. But the big takeaway here is choose one niche and focus on creating multiple products to sell to people that are interested in that niche. Literally, that is the secret. That is the silver bullet, right? Like that's it. Do that and you have a much greater chance of having someone buy more than one thing, which is great. And then also buying stuff in the future because they like your shop. They walked into your shop like they walked into a store that's all about babies, like Babyland, right? Or it's the Bass Pro shop, right? It's they walk in, they're like, yes, this is the place for me. This is what I'm looking for. And a lot of people aren't doing that. And a lot of gurus out there on Etsy aren't teaching this. What they're teaching is go find a trending shirt, copy it and sell it and copy everything about it and just try to sell that. It's not what we're about. Not at all. So guys, do me a favor. If you have gotten value, smash the like button, subscribe to this channel. I have a bunch of other videos on the YouTube channel. So you can go ahead and do that. I want to thank you guys once again for hanging out with us. If you have any questions, drop them in the comments. I'd be more than happy to answer them. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, and since sharing this stuff in the Facebook groups that I belong to, people have asked, Scott, will you teach what you have done, what your partner is doing? Will you teach the process and the steps? So what I decided to do was January 4th, we're going to teach a class and we're calling it the 7-day cha-ching challenge. And if you guys are new to Etsy, that cha-ching sound, I'm kind of getting, it's funny. I love it, but it's also kind of annoying at times. I was like last night, my wife would hear it and she's like, oh my gosh. Like literally, I'm not even kidding. In the beginning, it's fun. It's exciting. But when you're getting behind on orders and all that stuff, you're like, whew, slow this thing down, right? But the cha-ching is kind of like an Etsy thing. Like people love that sound. And when you have it, it gets addicting. You know, you really do want to hear that sound. So what we're going to do is we are going to, over 7 days, it's going to be like a 14-day deal, but we're going to teach for 7 days and get ready to have a 7-day cha-ching challenge. And what that is we're going to help with what we have already done, which is build out a store that is brand. It is on brand. It is in a niche. We're going to optimize that. We're going to show you everything that we do, everything from what type of banner to use, what type of profile picture, the about section, the announcement section, your categories, like all of the things that optimize it, your internal stuff, like your triggers and all of that stuff. We're going to be going through that because we're going to help set everything up with you, walk you through everything that we have done. And then at the very end, on the 7th day, that's when we are going to turn it on. Meaning we are going to, for 7 days, hopefully get you some sales. So that's what the 7-day cha-ching challenge is going to be all about. Right now, there are early bird spots available at a discount. This is what it's like a pilot program. We haven't taught this yet. It's going to be, again, on January 4th, so after the first of the year. And then from there, we're going to walk people through this. We're going to take a private class through this and then hopefully get some case studies and some testimonials. That's another reason why we're doing this at a discount. But for early bird tickets, you can get those right now by heading over to brandcreators.com/sales. And you can grab those while they're discounted. When we do reopen, it will be at the regular price that will be on that page right now. So if you're interested, go grab a spot, get in at the early bird price. We will be increasing the price a little bit before we actually go live. So right now it's kind of like early bird pricing. So if you want the lowest price, go there now, get your spot, secure it. We will be also offering recordings. So if you can't attend it, when it starts. Like if you want to do it in the third week in January, you can totally do that. All right. So brandcreators.com/sales, it'll take you over there and you can see all the details and then you can go ahead and secure your spot. So Chris, do we have any questions while we're here?
We have questions. The first one, Scott, before we dive into what we were just talking about, Michelle wanted to know, she said, I sent you an email about this, but I wanted to ask you here, is the class that we're talking about, the Cha-Ching Challenge, is that relevant for people who already have a store and are looking to grow, or is it just for people who are trying to get started?
Yeah, it's a great question. And what we are doing here is we don't want someone that doesn't have their niche selected, that they don't have any direction yet. That is where we would then guide someone and say, hey, go through our Etsy Product Magic Workshop, which will help you with niche selection and product selection and all that stuff. You do have time to get that stuff done before we kick it off on January 4th. But yes, we want to be able to help someone that is either stuck with getting sales in their Etsy shop, and then also someone that is like, you know what, I'm just up and running and I want to get my first sale or two and I want to start getting this thing rolling, but I want to do it in the right way. That's who it's for. So if you already have a store, you already have a shop, and you want to optimize it, maybe you want to build it out a little bit more, this would be great because then it's going to make sure that we optimize everything fully. But also it's going to walk you through how to get and really ramp up your sales. So that's who it's for. But yes, someone that has a shop already that wants to get more sales, definitely. Or if it's someone that has a brand new shop and they want to get sales, it's perfect for them as well.
So what time is the training is another question that came in. I don't think we've officially set that yet. Well, but typically we would do it.
Yeah, but we're not doing it. Okay, so just to be clear, this is not like you're going to jump on at 12 o'clock and we're going to do it. The lessons will be sent out on those days. So there's going to be one lesson, one action step, or maybe two action steps for that day. So everything will be in order as we would build it out from scratch all the way to the day that we're like, all right, let's turn on some sales. So every day, we will be releasing a new lesson. That lesson will most likely be released in the morning. We'll have a set schedule, but you don't have to show up live. Although we are going to do a live Q&A call, plus we're also going to do, and we're going to have people submit those, we'll do some shop reviews. So if you want us to review your shop in front of the class and everybody can learn from it, we will do that as well. We've scheduled it so we have one call, but my thoughts are we'll probably do a second call, almost certain. So, but yeah, so it's not live. It's more or less like a hybrid, but it will be started. And then at the end of it, at the end of that 7 days, that's when we'll do our live call. But everything will be kind of in sequential order.
Yeah. So basically we're running through this as a challenge, right? So if you can't make it exactly at 9 a.m. or at noon or anything like that,
yeah,
it's not that big of a deal. Right. And I know, I think Michael said, you know, I'm going to be on a cruise for part of it, but I still want to take part. You can absolutely do that. And here's the thing, right? Like, as we're going through this, we are doing this live, right? Meaning that we're all going through this together, but you can also go through this in your own time, right? So if you can't make it or you don't want to start it on the 4th, you want to start it in March, you can still do that. And you can just go through it day by day. Make sure that you're executing on the action items and those kinds of things on a daily basis, and then go from there. As far as like questions and stuff go, we are going to do, Scott, like you said, there is going to be a live component to this in terms of like a Q&A. If you can't make that once that is announced, we will give you an option to submit questions in advance. We typically do that either by saying just email us or we create a little form where you can submit it. Sometimes both, just to make sure that everybody has a way of being able to get that stuff to us. And then we can go from there. Karen said, so you get to do the lessons on your own time, but we can get your feedback on our specific shop. Yes. And so essentially we're going to kind of open that up for a little bit of shop analysis as we're going through this process, right? So as you're executing on these things, before we get on that like Q&A shop review call, just make sure you're executing on those things. And then just like with any questions that come up, we'll give you the opportunity to submit the shop to review on that call. Scott, you touched on a bunch of things going back to what we were actually here to talk about. You know, one of the things that you said that you pointed out, I think it was item number five on what really made this work, is that email is critical. And I think too many people are still overlooking email or saying, hey, it's 2023. Why aren't you talking about like Facebook ads? It's still the highest ROI of anything that an e-commerce brand can do, right? And whether you consider yourself to be an e-commerce brand or not, right? If you're selling on Etsy, you are in e-commerce. And so we need to put a little bit of focus on that. We did have a few questions on that, Scott. And the first was, how do you get people to join your list if they've never bought, right? How do you actually build an email list for one of these niches? Can you give a 2-minute rundown of the process that we use to do that?
Yeah. So if we're doing it externally, now inside of the 7-day cha-ching challenge, we will be going through like some email stuff as far as internal stuff and email triggers and things like that, because that stuff has to be set up like immediately. That's a missing opportunity. But externally, what we do is we use a giveaway. All right. We just ran one. We just wrapped it up. It was very, very successful. The cool thing is you also get sales during the giveaway period, which is pretty awesome. We also did it with a private client recently, who she gained like over 1,000 email subscribers, made some additional sales. It's just worked really good. But what you do and kind of like the rundown is really simple, is we want to take our products, and there's a reason why we want to use our products. Now, if you don't have a whole bunch of products that you feel like someone would want, I'd start working on that. But what you want to do is you want to take a collection of your products. I like it to be at least $100 value. And then from there, we run a giveaway. Now, you can run the giveaway using Facebook ads. You can use the giveaway just using organic reach if you want to, or organic stuff, like posting on Facebook, if you have a Facebook group or social or any of that stuff. If you have an email list currently, you want to promote it to that, which is a whole nother strategy. But what we want to do is, number one, we want to put something out there that would target the right person. So it's almost like we're attracting the ideal customer and we're repelling the people that aren't interested in that, right? And that's all that we're doing. So set up the giveaway. You can use a tool like King Sumo. There's other ones out there. And then what you do is you collect the email. So we're going to then connect that to an email provider. We use ConvertKit. And then once we do that, we're building the list every single day. We pick a winner at the end. And then part of our process at the end is we say to the people that didn't win, hey, sorry you didn't win, but you're still a winner. We're going to give you 20% off for the next 4 days on our entire Etsy shop, something like that. And that's it. That is the strategy. And it works really well. And it's something that we do pretty much almost every month. We have what we call a VIP list for our brand.
And I think the other side of that is it doesn't have to be expensive to do that either, right? No. We just did one on a $5 a day budget and blew the pants off of a previous one we did with a bigger budget, right? So it all depends on what you're doing. And as long as you have a niche selected, and that's the key to all of this, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just sell mugs. Mugs is not a niche, right? Mugs is a product.
Right.
Who do you sell to? Right. And so if you sell to fishermen, this becomes very easy. If you sell to car enthusiasts, this becomes very easy. If you sell to yada, 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 right. Any group of people, or something somebody can identify as, right. Mm-hmm. So I am a fisherman. I am a lawyer. I am a cat person. I am a whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. It not only makes the Etsy side of this easier, but it also makes the email list, like any of the external stuff, a heck of a lot easier as well.
And Chris, let me just say this real quick, though. So what we're going to be doing, and just because I don't want people to get overwhelmed and think they have to do like this external email list building as of yet, you don't. And part of the 7-day cha-ching challenge is really about simplifying everything, but making sure that everything is in place. So when we do add traffic, everything will convert at a higher rate. And that's really what we have done. Is really built out our brand, because that's what you have to think about this as. It's like you're building out your brand, okay? It just happens that you have an Etsy shop. We're going to leverage everything that Etsy gives us that makes available to us. We're obviously doing our homework to make sure that we've got a good niche picked, we've got good products picked and all of that stuff. But then we want to make sure that all of those components are in place. And that's why the very first, it's the 6 days leading up to the 7th day of the 7-day cha-ching challenge, is going to be making sure that everything is in place. Now we are going to go into very, very little bit of making sure that you're building your customer list, or at least you have it set up to be building it inside of Etsy. So we will cover that in, I believe, like day three or four, because that is important. As far as external list building, we won't go into that inside of the 7-day cha-ching challenge, because it's just a whole nother component that right now we just want to be able to get you, you know, if you haven't gotten a sale, we want to get you your first sale. If you've already gotten a sale, we want to get you more sales. And that's really what the goal is of this 7-day cha-ching challenge. So I just wanted to say, like, it's, we're not going to go too deep into the weeds on email because we don't want to overwhelm and we don't think it's necessary to get your first batch of sales.
Yeah. And that's really what the cha-ching challenge is all about, right? It's about going through a process to make sure we have everything set up and start bringing in actual sales, right? And all of this stuff, there's lots of ways to test and tweak and optimize and increase sales. But until you have the confidence that you're getting the existing sales, that you're getting consistent sales, and that you have everything set up, there's no reason to worry too much about that, right? We could spend all day talking about Facebook ads or Google ads, but that's not really helpful at a foundational level. And so once we have the foundation, then we can talk about the other stuff that's there. Scott, you talked about getting some traffic via ads, some sales and traffic via ads. And we had a couple of people that were saying that they're looking for increased visibility. That's like the biggest thing that they're struggling with. When people find them, they convert. And that's the reason we run ads, right? Especially with new products. It takes Etsy a few weeks to a few months to really understand where that product is going to fit in their organic search algorithm, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we can shortcut that process by showing up for just a couple bucks a day at the top of the organic search results, we give Etsy that data a little bit faster. So we are okay with paying a couple dollars a day to get additional visibility, especially on new products, because we know that that visibility is going to turn into traffic. And what is that traffic going to turn into? Well, according to the numbers you just showed, right? Somewhere between 5 and 8% of those people are going to turn into sales, which then means we move up in the organic rank, which then means we get more traffic, which then means we get more sales, which then means we move up in the organic rank. Mm-hmm. And it really starts that flywheel moving. And that's really what we're all about. So if visibility is something that you're struggling with, don't be afraid to invest a few bucks a day in ads. And Scott, to your point, the thing I see that people often have an objection to, especially in the Etsy ecosystem, in terms of Etsy ads, is that they think that they have to spend an arm and a leg. And you actually dialed back ads.
Yep.
Correct. Because we had scaled it up to see if it would scale, and it kind of did, but not the same way that we wanted it to. And so we did end up pulling it back to just that $5 a day. And that seems to be pretty consistent, right? Because there's only so many people searching for Fisherman Christmas gift, right? In any given period of time. And us going and telling Etsy that they can spend as much money as they want, putting Christmas ornaments for fishermen in front of people doesn't necessarily benefit us. There is going to be a cap to that. And for us to get to that number that we've been talking about today, all it took was that $5 a day.
Yeah. And I just pulled this literally while we were on here. I just went, took a screenshot, and I just, you know, threw this at the bottom of the slide deck that I put together. But I mean, right here, this is the last 30 days, spent $149.65 and brought in 1901.05, 57 orders, you know, 432 clicks, you know, 25,000 views. Like, why wouldn't you want to do this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and after you realize that those 57 customers, they're customers now, right? Like, they're customers that I can now put on my email list and possibly sell in the future. So I don't have to pay for them again necessarily. So does this always work? Not always. That's why you have to test it. But I've been running $5 a day. You can see that little graph down there, a little $5 a day consistently last 30 days right here. $150, $1,900 in return, right? So not too shabby, okay? So I just wanted to kind of show that.
Michelle said, you know, I am running ads. She was one of the people that had asked about visibility, but some of the products are getting more visibility with ads than others. Why is that? Well, because Etsy thinks that that product is more relevant. And it may just be that when they show both products, that one gets clicked on more. And so they know, right, their ultimate goal, no matter who they're showing and no matter how they're showing somebody, right, whether it's ads or organic, is that that click, somebody clicking on your listing, will turn into a sale. And so based on what Etsy is seeing in your description, in your title, in the actual conversion rate of that listing, they may be favoring that because they think that that is more likely to lead to the sale. that's usually what will happen. Either that, or let's say you're selling a t-shirt and a mug that would rank for the same keywords. They know that generally t-shirts are going to sell better, so they'll show the t-shirt over, right? Things like that.
Yeah. Well, and so the other thing that I would say on that too is like, that could also show you that maybe there's not as much demand for those products as your other product. So that might be something that you would go, okay, well, you know, and I always tell people this, it's like, if you want to instantly see what kind of demand there is for a product, even though you've done your research, turn on some ads and then see how many impressions you're getting for that, because then it at least shows you like, oh, it's showing up this many times. That means there's that many people that potentially could be interested in this. Then obviously you can see if you got a sale or not. But that's another way to actually see. And also what'll happen is when you start running those ads, you can also see the keywords that led people to the ad, right? So you can actually see that, which is great data to see.
I think that is probably the most underrated part. And I don't want this to be all about Etsy ads, right? But that is the most underrated part of spending even just a few dollars a day. There is no other platform, including Google itself, right? Mm-hmm. That when someone clicks on their ad, they tell you the exact keyword that that person came from. Exactly. Etsy does, which means not only do we get to see the keywords that are driving traffic, but we also get to see the keywords that are driving sales. Why is that important? Well, let's double check our title, our description, our tags, right? Let's make sure that we're optimizing for that keyword. Why? We know traffic and sales are coming from that keyword. And we may have picked the wrong one to start with. And there's not a way to know, right? Until we start seeing that data come in. And the example I used the other day, Scott, was, do you know what coriander is?
Yeah.
So it's a seed, right? Well, the plant that comes from that in America is called cilantro, but everywhere else in the English speaking world, right? The plant and the seed are referred to as coriander. So it's a coriander plant. If you're from England and you are selling something with cilantro on it in the US, you'd probably put the word coriander. Well, Etsy's smart enough to know that coriander and cilantro are actually the same thing. And when you run ads and you see that that traffic and sales are coming from cilantro versus coming from the word coriander, you're then able to make that change in the title, in your description, to say, oh, okay, technically it's correct, right? There's two ways of calling it this. It's a mug or a cup, but everybody that's searching for this is calling it a cup, a tea cup, not a tea mug. So let me do that. It's the best way to shortcut that and get the information.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing on niches, we talked a lot about finding your niche, and we had a couple different people saying, I have like equipment. So somebody said, I have like a laser engraving machine, so it's been really hard for me to find a niche. Mm-hmm. What if you are a shop, and the person that comes to mind here is our friend Ty, how would you define a niche for somebody who physically creates a product, right? For print on demand, it's really easy to understand, okay, I can create all different products under the sun for fishermen. But if you have like a shop, a laser engraving shop or a woodworking shop or something like that, how do you narrow your niche down?
Yeah, well, I think you could, like we've talked about this before, like if you're in that situation, you can find niches that are also have like shoulder niches, right? Like, so you can kind of like find that main one. So our friend Ty, right? Like she sells reclaimed wood, okay? Rustic reclaimed wood. So she can go after that market for people that want rustic wood, but she can also go after people maybe in the wedding industry that want a sign, rustic wood, but it says their names on it, right? That they just got married or something, something like that. So there are ways that you can tap in. As long as your niche is rustic wood, you're then going out on these shoulder niches, right? So there is a place for that. But we just find that instead of going out there and trying to serve, like I forget who it was, but someone had said that they have a shop that they'll find like one kind of design and then they tweak it and then they alter it to like different niches. And that's fine, right? You're not doing a lot more work. I guess the thing that I'd be thinking about is, okay, how do I sell that person over there? Like if I was to collect all those emails of customers, how do I send out an email and know that I'm targeting that one area, right? I'd have to segment that out. It makes the business so much more confusing. And instead of selling that one person or that person one thing, I want to sell them 2, 3, 4 different things. When I come out with a new product, I want to know that it's going towards them. So I'm not saying that it can't work. what I'm saying is it seems harder as a building a brand. If you're just trying to do it to make 10 bucks on a t-shirt and just try to mass do it, you can. To me, it's not the best strategy and it's not one that I would want to follow. That's all I'm saying, you know? So, and it could be short-lived, right? Like you're not building a customer list of people in a niche. Like I can take that customer list and now point them to my Shopify store, right? I can point them over to another platform if I want to. It also becomes an asset that I could sell down the line if I ever wanted to sell the brand. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually somebody just said, like, why would you do any of this if you can't sell it? Well, you actually can. The only part of this you can't sell is the Etsy shop itself, right? But all of the creative, all of the products that you've created, that's all intellectual property that is sellable. And the goal for this, right, unless you don't care and you never want to sell it, the goal for this should be to eventually start to build the offsite stuff. Again, that's down the road, right? And when you have an Etsy store, a Shopify store, when you have all of those things, it does become sellable. And if you ever get tired of it, you can do that. I would say, you know, I think it depends on how you're coming into this, right? If you already own hundreds of thousands of dollars in woodworking equipment, then yes, you probably want to take more of a product-based approach. And take a look at what's really selling well in the wood space. The downside of that is exactly what you just said. It becomes very difficult to sell multiple things to the same customer, right? The same person will only buy so many rocking horses or bed frames or wooden signs, right? They'll only buy so many laser engraved things. And so there's nothing wrong with that inherently. It just becomes much more difficult to grow quickly without having to do a bunch of other things. And somebody in the YouTube chat, Scott, was saying, yeah, I'm taking more of a product-based approach and I'm doing really well with it. Again, it's not necessarily wrong, right? Like I wouldn't say don't do it unless you asked me, hey, I'm considering this or this, in which case I would say go the niche route because it makes everything else a heck of a lot easier, right? We're able to sell multiple things to the same customer. We're able to use things like email marketing to bring them back. And I can do that if I know that they're into fishing. I can't necessarily do that if I know that they have a coffee mug, right? And so it's not to knock any of those people. It's just if you want to grow this and you want to make your life a heck of a lot easier, the niche approach works a lot easier. And Scott, the biggest thing that I see all the time, there's two. The first is traffic. The second is new product ideas. Mm-hmm. I've never seen somebody who's in a product focused business that's not struggling with new product ideas because they're constantly looking for a new mug that will sell versus us coming in and saying, okay, here's three designs that we have that sell really well to fishermen. What if we put it on a pillow, right? It's like the level of thinking and effort that's involved in creating new products that will sell to that niche is a heck of a lot less than it is when you're product focused. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's kind of where I was going with it as well. It's like, it's not that we're saying like that is wrong. Although if my wife came to me with that approach, I would have said, I don't like that strategy because of you're going to be all over the place. And when you're creating products now, you're creating it for that one sale, right? That one sale. That's all that you're making it for. I would much rather sit down and go, okay, what else could my customer buy? Or are there gifts in this market that are being purchased for someone in this niche, right? That's the only thought that I ever have to think about. Now, does that mean that I can't go out on these shoulder niches? So if I'm into bass fishing, does that mean that I can't go into hunting? I could. It's kind of in the same wheelhouse, right? It's like sports and outdoors, right? Could we do that? Sure. Could we go into, turkey hunting, you know, like could we do something which is another shoulder niche of that? We absolutely can, but it's still within the same realm of that brand. And it just seems easier to me, right? Like it's not all over the place, or as Debbie calls it, a garage sale, or just a t-shirt company. Or it's like you go into a t-shirt shop. I remember years ago, I'd go into Champion Outlet. I'd go in there and they'd have the whole wall with all the numbers, with all the different shirt designs, and I could get the iron on, right? And I get to go in there and pick one. And they're all over the place, right? But that's kind of how I feel like if you have a shop online, you're just trying to find those one or two different ones that people are buying. And then you're like, I'll just cater to all the niches. I'll just be a t-shirt company. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. It's just not my approach. It's not what we would do. That's all.
So Derek says, you know, kind of as a counter to that, what would you say to people who say, hey, your shop is confusing because you sell shirts and mugs and flags, et cetera. And Derek, I think you're missing the thing that ties everything together, right? So like you've probably walked into a Yankee Candle store at some point, and obviously all that they sell is candles, right? That's a product focused store, but you've also walked into Dick's Sporting Goods or Scheels if you're a West Coast person, right? You were not confused by the variety of products that they were selling. Why? Because there's a central theme. And so if somebody comes to your store and you are selling to fishermen and fishing is your niche, fishing people are not going to be confused that you have a flag and a hat and a tackle box and those kinds of things that have fishing related stuff on it, right? It's just making that switch in your mind, and it's the store theme. So rather than being a product focused store or an interest or a niche focused store. Let me know in the comments if that makes sense.
Yeah. And the other thing that I want to add to this is, and this is again, like, cause where I come from, like in my, you know, building businesses, it's always about like, how do I increase the order value and how do I get a customer? Like you always hear, even on Shark Tank, how much does it cost you to acquire a customer? Like they always want to know that because they want to know what it's going to cost to get that customer. And can I then get paid back for that investment? But then also what's the lifetime value of that customer? So now that I know that, right? So I'm always looking at that. The other thing is like, let's say that you have a shop that is all over the place as far as like different designs. I'm not talking about like different products in the niche. That's okay. But if you have like all these different niches and then someone favorited your shop and then you put a new item in there and it's about bass fishing, but they just bought the cat shirt, they're not interested. So I want to leverage the marketing that Etsy will do for me or any platform or my own email list. Like I'm always thinking that. If I have, let's say that I have a pillow and I have a new tumbler that I come out with a very similar graphic because the pillow was doing well. And I put that in my shop. Well, guess what? Someone that bought the pillow is like, oh, you know what? That's cool. I'm going to grab that too. But if someone came in on something else and then I added this random product in another niche, it doesn't pertain to them. And it just doesn't work well inside of that brand. So that's just the big thing for us is always trying to build a brand that people would want to buy more. So Chris, any other last minute questions? I know we've been going a while here. If there's any more questions, we can try to get those in. If not, we will wrap this up. Go ahead.
Two questions really quick. Is personalization a niche? No, right? And they said it feels like it could be an interest. The test that I like to use for that is, would you call yourself that thing, right? So you wouldn't ever say, I am personalization. You would say, I am a fisherman. I am a cat lover. I am, you know, a lawyer, right? Those would all be potential niches. Personalization is something that can work in any niche, but personalization itself is not a niche. Does that make sense, Scott?
Yeah, it's not a niche. What do I want to say? Like an option, right? Like it's something that you can add on. But no, personalization is not a niche. What you're doing, like if you have personalization, you're going to create personalization items inside of a niche, right? So that's what you would do with the personalization side. I know some people, they want to be a gift store maybe, right? So a gift store is like, we sell stuff that's just all giftable items. And yeah, I mean, what's the one there? What's the one that's well known? Things to Remember.
Oh yeah.
Or Things Remembered or whatever it is. Right. So it's like that one there, it's like, that's just a gift, like, you know, engraving and personalization and stuff. Can that work? Yeah. It's worked for them. But do you want to be just a personalization service? Cause that's really what you are. Right. I don't see that as a niche. I see that as a service.
And again, that's not necessarily wrong or bad. It's just what you want at the end of the day.
Yep.
And if you're looking to do this and be able to scale this without having to do a lot more complex work, going the niche-based versus the product-based approach is usually the way to go. What would you say about a niche for jewelry, you know, boho or necklaces and earrings? So what I would suggest for that is that you either focus on the use of that jewelry. So I think the example that we covered with Miss Debbie a few weeks ago was like a quinceañera store, something like that. But you can also focus on a design style, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? So you could go with like minimalist or boho chic. You know, although probably selling jewelry to minimalist people might not be the best thing because you'd want them to wear as much of your stuff as possible, right, and not only one thing at a time. But that's a different conversation, right? So you could definitely focus on the style there. And I would say the same thing for like interior design or any of those kinds of things. You can definitely go after like a contemporary style of those things, and that should work as well.
Yep.
I think that about wraps it up. Did you see any other questions that snuck in on us?
No, I didn't. I, again, just wanted to remind people. I want to thank everyone for hanging out. We had a bunch of people on, over 50 people on here live, which is pretty amazing. So I want to thank you guys for hanging out, and really appreciate it. If you guys do have any other questions, drop them in the comments. Do me a favor, too. If you did get value, smash that like button. That helps us. It helps us get it out there to more people. I mean, we want to come on here and help you as best that we can. But yeah, every little bit of the update of kind of going through like what we're doing, how we're building things out, we're going to be sharing that here on the channel, on our Facebook, or in our Facebook groups and things like that, but on YouTube as well. But if you are interested in hanging out with us on January 4th through the 11th, we're going to be actually going through this entire process as if we were building a store from scratch, as if we were sitting down with you and saying like, step one, we're doing this. Step two, we're doing this. Step three, we're doing this, and so on. And getting your first sale or increasing your sales. That is what this 7-day Cha-Ching Challenge is all about. And right now we do have early bird tickets available if you're interested. Yes, I know it's over 3 weeks away, right? It's going to be after the new year. But we're doing that on purpose. Number one, we want to spend time with our families, and we're busy ourselves within our own shops. But we know that people at the end of this year are going to be ready. And that's what we want to do, is we wanted to kick this thing off in 2023, which is going to be awesome. And we also are doing this because we want to get some case studies. We want to get some testimonials. It's a win-win. We want to be able to help you so you guys can help us by sharing that we actually helped you, because we know that then we'll be able to help even more people. So selfishly, we want to get a testimonial from you saying that we helped you get some sales, which would be awesome. So it's a win-win. So guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. As always, take care, take action, have an awesome, amazing day, and we'll see you right back here on another episode. Take care, guys. Oh, and one last thing. If you can do me one small favor and leave me a review over on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast, and just let me know, what is one thing that the podcast has helped you with since listening? Whether you just started listening or if you're a longtime listener. Like this one right here from Leanne. She says, content is invaluable. 5 stars. Host forever keeps my attention. The content is always extremely helpful. He's given me more of an education in the last year and a half that I've been listening than I would have gotten with a degree in entrepreneurship, if that's even a thing. Tons of incredible, useful information, tips, and motivation. My favorite things are, one, he is not boring. He's engaging and motivating in a personal and professional way. Two, he doesn't dribble on about off topics. And three, the titles are on point. When I'm struggling with particular issues, I know that I can go to the podcast, search through the podcast, and find what I'm after. This is great because I certainly don't have time to go through a million episodes of different podcasts, just hoping that I'll run across the topic I'm needing at that time. So I appreciate these so much. Your review will help inspire and motivate other people, and it will also allow us to reach more people inside of these platforms. So if you would do that, that would be amazing. And as always, remember, I'm rooting for you.